This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Fuller is chasing some tennis ball around the Ralph Fletcher jersey and has pushed it through over here. Robert's going to end up on the floor again trying to take care of the dog.
Yeah, Fuller needs to understand now, Roy Williams doesn't want us touching that North Carolina jersey because ever since we put it up, the Heels are 3-0.
Come here, big fella.
So
come here.
All right. Oh, boy. Here we go. Here's a juggling act. Game's on.
Yeah.
All right. We appreciate Seth Greenberg who joined us in the first hour of the program. It is a busy hour number two. Elliot Avent, NC State baseball coach, will join us coming up about a half an hour. The Wolfpack off to a blistering 11-0 start.
That's correct.
They've got Coastal Carolina, weather permitting, this afternoon. So we'll talk a little baseball later on. But the ACC Women's Basketball Tournament starts in Greensboro today.
Yep.
And Wes, we have the perfect person to break stuff down.
Tell it all, Pack. Ladies Night, co-host Jen Hildreth. Welcome.
Thank you. Let me just fix my hair toss here, and we're good. Okay. Yeah.
I've never had that problem.
Pack doesn't toss his hair very much anytime he's on TV. No. So,
hey, hey, look, you guys, Wes, you know my hair issues over the years. Like this takes some hours to dry, people. I usually don't look at it right now in this part of the process, so just bear with me.
Okay. We got it. You just let us know when you're ready.
Let us know. You ready?
That'll be about 2 hours from now. So we'll go ahead and jump in early.
Okay. All right. Day one of the ACC Women's Tournament. And really, the way this sets up, you get Clemson, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Notre Dame, Wake Carolina is a game. I think you've got Wake Carolina. What are you looking for day one? What do you sense in the early stages of this event with the favorite being Louisville, obviously, and NC State and Duke with a great run and Virginia Tech surprise? What are you looking for here?
Well, you obviously know day one of the tournament, you've got your bottom six teams. So there comes inherently a greater sense of urgency and need to win, that it is truly a win or go home for your teams that are playing on day one, that you don't have when the big dogs who come in, those top four seeds in particular, who have the double bye, will start their play on Friday. Mm-hmm. Today, these teams need to win. So you're getting that tournament feeling of you better play well, you better win, or you're going home and your season's over. So I think you've got that level of excitement with these teams ready to get going. And then, you've got, I think, the storylines on this day one, there are some really good ones in there. Our game, North Carolina Wake Forest, was an overtime game just about 10 days ago that Wake Forest won. I mean, that was it. So I would love that again. That would be a great way to start things off. And then you look later on today, you've got Notre Dame, a team that's won 3 in a row. And I just had them down in Tallahassee where they beat a ranked Florida State team. Mm-hmm. And they're looking good. I mean, Muffin McGraw has had this team grow up. They've gone through one of their worst seasons in decades. And yet, they're a team to watch. I think I would not be surprised. I think they for sure get out of today. What they do after that, we'll see. But I could see them, if they continue playing the way they did on Sunday, maybe making a little bit of a run here. And then what I think is one of the big storylines of this tournament coming up in our last game of the day today with Clemson and Miami, you've got the return of the preseason ACC Player of the Year, Beatrice Mompremier, who came back. She's been back for 3 games for Miami. They won 2 of those. They've won back-to-back games for the first time in conference play coming into this tournament. She averaged a double-double in both. So I think that gives some good storylines to look for.
All right, let's go with the first game. By the way, your snack display behind you is spectacular.
Whatever's left of it.
North it's Carolina. All in play when you come on this show, isn't it? Come on. It's all in play, Jen. Come on.
North Carolina and Wake Forest. North Carolina got off to a cool start, right? Wake Forest had a spike during the year. You mentioned the fact they just played. We saw the men's version of it last night in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
Of the six teams in action today and tonight, Jen, of those six, if I said to you, pick one that can make a semi-run in the tournament, not necessarily win it, because Louisville, NC State, again, I think those are – they're on a different platform here. But of the six tonight and today, which one can have a run in this tournament?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's tough because I'm looking at the bracket. So I think North Carolina's fortunes depend heavily on whether or not Janelle Bailey plays. Their first team all ACC forward has been out for the last three games. She did not play in that regular season meeting, that overtime loss against Wake Forest. So I think if Bailey comes back, watch for out for North Carolina. That could be a tough matchup when they get, if they get past Wake, if they get to Virginia Tech in the next round, and then they get a Florida State team that has shown some vulnerability. So you could watch there. The other one I think is Miami, because I think if you add Mom Premier and that size on the inside to a team that has the ability to play with some lightning quick guards and be good on the perimeter, if they can hit some shots, watch out for Miami. Hmm. I gave you two.
No, no, the Mom Premier thing is real, because you're talking about a potential All-America who's really been sidetracked most of the year, and there's no telling what that's done to Katie Meyer and the whole prospectus of what Miami had hoped for and what Miami ended up with. Jen, is it easy to say because of her presence and their experience and the type coach Katie is that Miami's the best bet? And I'm fascinated by Carolina, who got off to this unbelievable start and then struggled down the stretch too. I mean, Carolina's a little bewildering. It's like opposite Duke. And we were talking last night about Duke's run from January on. Carolina went the other way. Duke went the other way. I mean, so Carolina and Miami are the two that kind of click with me, I guess.
Yeah, you know, the thing with North Carolina that makes me a little nervous. I mean, obviously they come in on a 7-game losing streak, so they've certainly lost some mojo after they did have that promising start, and everybody was pretty impressed. They can score, okay? North Carolina can score. However, they rank toward the bottom of the conference when it comes to defense and points allowed. That is a big concern. The other part of that is they essentially, their five starters play so many minutes. Mm. Talked to Elena Beard earlier this season, and I said, what is going on with North Carolina? And she said, they ran out of gas. I mean, there is just, at some point in this ACC 18-game conference season, they just ran out of gas, those five starters. So we'll see. You know, you get a little extra juice when you get into the tournament, but I think that's a big hurdle for them to get over. But I do think that Miami edition of Mom Premier can make things very interesting. If that team can figure out how to adjust and go back to playing the way they played with her, is very different. Remember, that team thought she'd be out for maybe 2 to 3 weeks, wound up being the large part of the conference season. So they finally figured out how to try to play without her, but didn't have as much success as they would have liked. Now they become a big dark horse in this tournament.
Jen, I think it's kind of interesting that the men and the women have something in common. You got North Carolina's men's teams, won three in a row, starting to look the part. Notre Dame women, who were so used to saying, from the national perspective, they're going to be a 1 seed or a 2 seed. It's been a bizarre year for Muppet. However, the Irish have won 3 straight, including knocking off Florida State to end the regular season. Again, I'm not saying they're going to win the tournament, but they're always teams that can kind of cause a problem, right? Just seems like Notre Dame's kind of found in the Muppet. We know is such a great coach.
Yeah, I'm going to point back to a tweet LaChyna Robinson put out yesterday. My broadcast partner, she pointed to that picture of Roy Williams and Muffet McGraw and said, I don't know what these two talked about in that meeting where they had that, you know, hey, we're struggling. They made light of their struggles, because now they both have won 3 in a row since then. So, yeah, they've started to get some things figured out. And I'll tell you this. So they've got those two freshmen, Caitlin Gilbert, Sam Brunell, both named All-ACC freshman team. Brunell, ACC freshman of the week. Their offense clicked, and LaChyna and I looked at each other down in Tallahassee, and she said, that looks like Notre Dame. That looks like the way Notre Dame plays offense, the way they were smooth, making that extra pass, finding the open man, and they were knocking down shots. I agree that I think that they are going to be a really interesting team to watch too. And I think if they get through that matchup against Georgia Tech tomorrow, a team that's also shown the ability to knock off some highly ranked or higher ranked opponents with the way that team plays defense, that could be a great matchup.
All right, I want to jump ahead a little bit to Friday and potentially Saturday here. I'm going to guess that just the way the season ended, Florida State's the most vulnerable of the top four. Who among the 5 to 8, if you will, do you think has a chance to spoil the party this weekend?
Yeah, that's interesting about those top four. I was filling out my bracket in pencil in preparation for what I would think about going forward. And I did have the top four seeds making it through their first, well, they play that game, making it through. But looking at that next level, I'm looking at it right now. Forgive me for looking down. Let me move this up a little bit.
It's okay. We can see the snacks, too. The snacks are great.
I know. I know. I'm glad that they're in attendance. Yeah. Okay. Here's a game I don't know that I'm so interested in, and I'm calling it, so I really need to get much more up to speed on it, is the Syracuse-Virginia game tomorrow. Syracuse, to me, is such a big enigma. You know, they're a team that can go in there and knock off the likes of Florida State in the napkin play in overtime. Remind me, I have another napkin play that queued you up for me. Remind me to show you that later. But in terms of that next group of who I think could take down one of those top four, maybe Georgia Tech, because I sense some vulnerability in NC State too. I think they, now before they went and knocked down an NCAA record 13 straight three-pointers in their last game, I think they were having a bit of an identity crisis, kind of trying to figure out exactly who they were, because Kanane was getting beat up in the post. And then when they didn't have her, Koenig wasn't hitting shots on the outside either. So I think of that top four, Louisville has been the best team all year. They're the most well-rounded. They're playing the best basketball. Duke did have that loss to Virginia Tech last week, but the Blue Devils played three games last week that started with that great game against NC State. And what a rematch that could be, right, to see Duke and NC State meet back up. I think that would be a great one in the tournament. So I don't know, a lot of good things there, but I guess coming out of that, my pick was maybe Syracuse, Virginia, Syracuse in particular, if they can get it going and figure it out against Virginia, and then Georgia Tech with the way that they play defense. If they can get another 30 points from Francesca Pond, they'll take it. They're tough to beat.
Jen, we've talked a lot about teams. Yesterday we made the announcement for the individual awards, coaches and players. Anything surprise you with that list?
No, there were no surprises. We were talking a little bit about this last night when I saw Wes, and I kept asking everybody, all right, who was your pick? I wanted to know who they picked. Because here's the thing, right? I do not argue with Dana Evans being named ACC Player of the Year. She's the best player and the best team in the league. There's a lot of argument to be made for why she deserves that award. She's scoring, she can shoot the basketball, and she's had a great season. First time ever, sixth Player of the Year to Player of the Year. However, I actually think the most valuable player to any team in this conference is Haley Gorecki at Duke. What she does, nobody else in the country does at the rate that she does it, between scoring, assisting, rebounding, steals. I mean, she is so vital to that team and to the run that they have gone on. There was a really big part of me that wanted to vote for her, and I came real close to doing it. I did vote Dana Evans as my Player of the Year. But, man, it was hard not to pick Gorecki.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, listen, we'll let you get back to that box of Pringles in your hair product to get you ready to go for the games today.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah. I need all the help I can get. I'm going to go get some coffee.
There you go.
Thanks, Jen. Jen Hilder from Greensboro. Coverage of the ACC tournament available on the ESPN app starting at, noon today, I guess?
Is that 1 right? O'clock.
1
is
o'clock
our first
today.
Tip.
1 o'clock today, Coast. And then, tomorrow, 11 a.m. So,
right now.
And then Saturday on ESPNU for both semifinals and Sunday's championship game, Beth Mowins and Debbie Antonelli, who also said to you hello. More name drops for you.
That's it. Between selfies and name drops, you are rolling today.
Yeah. That game, by the way, Sunday with Beth and Debbie will be on and Kelly Gramlich.
Oh, there we go. There's another one.
On ESPN2 on Sunday afternoon.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Just think about all the acquaintances you're going to get to meet when we go on the spring break trip.
I'm looking forward to our spring break trip.
I know you are. I'm excited about it as well. We'll be in Bristol for a whole week.
It'll be a busy week, though, because we'll be doing our dog and pony, and then we got SiriusXM in the afternoon from the ESPN studios. Busy.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be out of Studio G.
Beats me.
All the lights, a lot of makeup.
Nah.
Oh, yeah. There'll be some.
No makeup. You can do makeup. I don't do makeup.
Okay. Be some glare.
It's all right. Not when I'm wearing a baseball hat.
All right, let's go to the...
When we have 15 inches of snow, wearing a toboggan, you'll be worrying about makeup.
Let's Let's go to
do we get Scott Van Pelt's parking spot when we get up there? He doesn't use it in the morning, does he?
Van Pelt doesn't actually have a parking spot.
He doesn't?
No.
How does he not have a parking spot?
I don't
spot?
Think anybody has a parking
spot
one. Up there.
I got one on the
some
truck.
People
you
do.
Have, you have a parking pass.
Oh, that's different.
Oh, some people do have a parking spot? I didn't
sure.
know that. Oh, I didn't know that.
Scott Van Pelt doesn't have a parking spot?
He can park in any spot he wants, but he does not have an official parking spot. And, Pac, wait till you show, wait till we show you where your parking lot is. It's going to be a long walk to the studio.
I don't care. I don't. You mean to tell me Scott Van Pelt doesn't have a parking spot at ESPN?
Asked and answered.
That is unbelievable.
We're just going to spend the whole segment asking the same question to Drew about Scott Van Pelt's parking situation.
I didn't mean to cut into your time.
I was going
to
drop another name, but I was told I was doing something that I shouldn't be doing a moment ago.
All right, let's go to Deportes, who, by the way, wasn't on my show, Jorge Ramos y su banda, yesterday.
Because he's in Bristol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm reserving makeup artists for you guys.
Oh.
Josh Macri on the left. Drew Brooks on the right.
It's not Macri. That's Deportes. That's the name. Deportes on the left.
The gentleman's name is Moises.
Yeah, it's Deportes.
Treat him with Deportes. Respect.
All right, let's do it.
All right, guys, a little over-under for you. Over-under 15 consecutive wins for the NC State Wolfpack baseball team to open their season. We have Coach Elliot Avent coming up in about 10 minutes. The Pack currently have 11 wins. They have Coastal Carolina today before a weekend series with Virginia.
Mm. ACC play begins this weekend in baseball.
Yeah.
All right, we got Coach coming on. They're at 11. Can they beat Coastal Carolina, who, by the way, is good?
Yeah.
And
then win
sweep
three.
The Hoos, who are, by the way, I looked it up just out of curiosity 9-1 at home. You go under.
I'm going under.
You think this? It's not going to see 15?
No, because I think if you're NC State, you want to get two or three in every conference series. That's what the goal in most of these teams are, is to win two out of the three. If you can get the sweep, great. That's an extra log on the fire. But I think 15, I'm going to go under here.
All right, I'm going to agree with you, and Coach can get on our case here in 15 minutes
when
he joins us.
If he's hearing this, he will.
I hope they're not taking American Airlines to Charlottesville. But we'll get into that later.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. It's been a topic of conversation for a couple weeks. How many wins can North Carolina have in the NCAA tournament? We're setting a line at 1.5 in the ACC tournament, rather. 1.5 for the Heels in Greensboro.
I'm going to go over. I think they win a couple. Can't win five, though.
I'll take the over.
Look at you guys.
I think I know we're too symmetrical right now. I think they can definitely win the first one, and I think I like their chances in the second one. The third is where it's going to get interesting because that's the third in 3 days and the first for the other.
That's right. Fresh legs against a deeper team, regardless.
So. And the top four are legit in the league.
Yeah.
So I would say two.
I think two is certainly obtainable for the way they're playing. Back-to-back 90-plus scoring, got confidence, feeling good, relatively healthy considering what they've been through all year.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out. But they, of course, have Duke coming up this weekend at Cameron Indoor.
All right. Syracuse. As of yesterday, the consensus number one men's lacrosse team in the country. So over under 2.5 consecutive weeks that they'll spend there. Keep in mind they have Johns Hopkins on Saturday, Rutgers next Saturday, and then Duke on the 22nd.
Own them all.
Over. And Brian Ives came up with a great stat. I jotted it down because I didn't know if we'd ever use it. But Syracuse is number one for the 98th time. 98th time. That's more than 20% of all inside lacrosse polls, which began back in 1973. There's our man, 22.
Chase Gallen.
Count it. Yeah, I'm going to go over. The Orange are on a mission to get it back. Lacrosse fever.
Can I tell you that last Friday night I enjoyed Jay Alter from the Carrier Dome with some of our lacrosse coverage. Outstanding work.
Yeah, real good.
Really enjoyed watching the Orange get after it in the Carrier Dome. I think that was their last game. In the Carrier Dome, they had a lot of lacrosse alums. It was the night before the basketball game with Carolina. And really kind of cool to see some of the lacrosse history play out in their final match.
And as I mentioned, they've got it.
Oh, man.
They've
Jim
got
Brown.
It. They've got it.
You start with Jim Brown, and it just gets better.
But the ACC, not only is Syracuse number one, North Carolina's 4, Virginia's 8, Notre Dame 10, Duke 13th nationally.
Yeah.
This is a great lacrosse league, men and women. North Carolina, by the way, number one on the ladies' side. NC State. I mean, there's so many good teams. It's crazy. We'll get into all that later on, though. But we're both in green. Over. Orange.
All right, guys. How about this one? Over under 8.5 consecutive wins for the Virginia basketball team. They're currently at 6. They have Miami tonight before Louisville at home, and then, of course, Greensboro.
Over.
Ooh.
You heard me.
Ooh.
Over.
Under.
You think they're losing Saturday, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
tell you what,
I do.
Now, Virginia Louisville round one
was good.
Was a great game.
Yes, sir, it was.
And that was kind of a breakout offensively for the Hoos, who finally cracked 70, had the lead late. Louisville was spectacular. The last 3 or 4 minutes in that game to win that thing. Final score was not indicative of how close that game was. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the Hoos are going to go WWW there. I am.
Wow.
Okay. I'm with you, Pack. I like it. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. All right, last one. Over under 7 ACC teams on the men's side to win at least 11 conference games in the regular season. Keep in mind, 4 already have done it. You got Syracuse, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Clemson all needing to win out to get to that number.
Well, obviously that can't happen because Clemson and Georgia Tech play each other.
That eliminates one.
Yeah.
7 would be the perfect number in a perfect world. I'm going to go under. Under.
Yes, I have to go under to achieve the one thing I wanted to have happen, which is 3 teams tied in the middle of the ACC this year just to personify the glob.
Well, the glob's going to be personified in the middle and in the bottom.
Yeah.
And potentially with elite glob.
Yeah.
Could be
3 levels again.
Yeah. I think 7 is the perfect 11. 7-11 is the perfect combination. 7 could get to 11, but I don't think it will.
Unfortunately today, Josh,
we're
agreeing a lot.
It's okay.
That's too bad.
I know.
I'm sorry. It just goes to show you. And people, you guys skipped all that stuff. No, we don't.
Does that mean the questions are good or bad when you agree?
These are nice questions today.
No, the questions are good.
I like the questions today.
I like the flexibility. You went on multiple sports and made us think, which is always about.
We serve all here. All right, last one. Over under 3 days that you're here on your spring break trip that you get makeup in the morning.
Well, a lot of times I'm forced to do it because I need more of it than anybody else. And I get the – it gives me
– get that scalp all kicked up.
Yeah.
Is that like going to the dentist for you?
No. It's not like the dentist.
Okay, good.
And all the makeup people that we've had – when we've gone on the road, have been super nice. Great.
Oh.
But I'm just not a makeup guy. Sorry.
Over.
I know you find that shocking.
Over. Just have to get there a little early.
How many shows we got? 5 there?
5, yeah.
Oh, it'll be over.
Yeah, it'll be over. We'll have to do over. Plus, the people there are so nice.
Yeah, they're nice people. That's
folks we met up there during the watch party when we had to have a little makeup, they were excellent.
Yeah.
Very nice people.
I don't know if ESPN has enough money in their budget, though. If I had to be in Bristol every day to do a show, I'm not sure ESPN has enough money in their budget to cover the makeup costs for my head.
They take care of Greenberg.
Seth Greenberg?
Yeah. Makeup. Oh,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm going to go over.
Yeah, over. Totally over.
Yeah.
So. Because y'all got real lights up there.
It'll be off, though, by the time I'm doing radio in the afternoon. I can tell you that much.
Well, yeah, you take it off after the show.
Immediately.
Yeah. So, good questions, Josh.
Like it.
Thank you.
Well done today.
I thought you might go over and under how many days it'll be till Kershaw goes down.
Well, if it's over a half, then you should be embarrassed.
Well, I couldn't get out there yesterday. If the snake's not there, I'm not going down there to find him.
Is that an excuse?
Yeah. I'm not going down there. I'm not looking for him that hard. If he's disappeared, it's good with me. I know I know the general vicinity on the rocks that he likes.
Yeah.
When I see him.
By the way, I was asked yesterday by some folks if the Lumberjacks were going to be in Greensboro.
One.
And I said they'd be there.
Per week.
One per week. We'd have Drew on Friday, and then Josh would be there next week. Of course, Josh still coming off his – recognition and appreciation tour in the New Orleans airport at the national championship.
And I know hockey's big up there. Do you guys just keep the beards all the way through hockey season? How's that work? So you guys aren't going to go ZZ Top on us, are you?
Oh, my gosh.
Who are we working with? Can we talk to management?
We got to get Elliot Avent ready.
I'm ready to talk some baseball.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Elliot Avent. His team's off to a great start. So we'll talk about that. Plus, I'm sure he'll have a comment about basketball.
He breaks it all down. Yeah, he's into it.
We'll have a lot to talk about. Longtime coach of the Wolfpack.
Undefeated Wolfpack.
Yeah, undefeated Wolfpack. One of Packer and Durham's all-time favorites is next. Number 9 comes to the program. First time we had him on TV, you think?
Yep.
Elliot Avent joins Packer and Durham next.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
My thanks to Seth Greenberg who joined us in the first hour. Just heard from Jen Heldreth. Get you up to speed. The ACC Women's Basketball Tournament gets started in Greensboro coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. But Dick Vitale will join us in about an hour. But right now,
let's go.
Let's talk to the hottest team in the business right here. They've played 11 times. They've won every single time. They've got Coastal Carolina rolling in there this afternoon. A road trip to Virginia this weekend. Eighth in the country. And, man, nobody has figured them out yet. Here's our man, Elliot Avent. Coach, congrats on the quick start.
Thanks a lot, Mark. How you doing?
Man, we're good. And I tell you what, your baseball team – you're getting the job done, my man. They've really, really played well.
It is very, very early. Very early.
Now, wait a second. You can't just start with it's very early and da-da-da. I mean, come on now. What do you like most about this club through the first 11?
I tell you what I've liked all fall and what I've liked so far this spring. We got a lot of young guys and we got a lot of veterans. And sometimes – when you got seniors and juniors and freshmen coming in playing together, there can be a disconnect. And I think our upperclassmen have done a great job with leadership, bringing the young guys along, giving them confidence in these early games. And what I like best about our team right now is our team unity. And we're capable of doing a lot of little things. We may not be great at anything, but we can do a lot of little things right now.
So you're saying that despite the manager, the coach, this team has found a way to win 11. That's what you're telling us.
It's always in spite of the coach. It is always that way in college athletics. There's very few Tony Bennett's and people like that can make a difference, you know?
Okay. I know enough about you and enough about your program to know you may have college baseball's best catcher. And he's hitting 297 through 11 games. And a young guy, Devontae Brown, is on fire at the top of the order, or at least in terms of his number at 415. But if I know Patrick Bailey, and I know the way you coach Patrick Bailey, that's okay with Patrick Bailey, and that's okay with Coach Avent, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know baseball so well. You know how many times you and I sat there and talked to the Georgia Tech stands back in the old days, and that's when we made our friendship, and you know sports so well and baseball Patrick Bailey, you'll appreciate this, Wes. He does such a great job of handling our pitching staff. And that's the key. That's what a good catcher does. Number one, he's got to handle your pitching staff. And number two, he's got to be able to receive. And he does that as well as anybody in the country. He may handle a pitching staff as well as anybody I've ever seen. He calls every pitch for us, which in today's college baseball scene is unheard of with the coaches calling the pitches, which is why we've had to go to the wristbands and the things that light up with the numbers on it and all this kind of stuff. But, Patrick Bailey does so much more than what people see. He's unbelievable. And Devontae Brown, you mentioned, he's from your neck of the woods. He's right there near Atlanta and from your neck of the woods, and he's been tremendous for us.
Coach, 24 years you've been doing this, and I know these guys keep you young, but it seems like this team likes to have fun up and above playing good baseball.
Yeah, I think all college sports is going to be more fun. Baseball was such a traditional thing, and, you hit a home run, it was kind of like show you've done it before, so everybody sat in the dugout and waited till you got there, and, college sports has changed. these players like excitement. They like energy. Look at this stuff. These two guys coming off the field. And, that's what college sports has gone to, and it's good. And, you know, I fought that at a time, maybe 10, 12 years ago, because, you know, I got taught by the, you know, late great Coach Esposito and Ray Tanner, who followed him. And we grew up in a world when all that was kind of taboo, but, you know, you've had to morph into this is what kids like to do and this is what you need to do. So it's been fun, and this group does keep me young.
Well, I want to say, by the way, the throwback jerseys are some of my favorites, and I see that you got the Espo influenced NC State with the number there, with the guys doing the backflip. That's a nice touch and a nice nod to a program that you know, you've been there now long enough. This is your program, and while those guys did a great job, and from the historical perspective, this is your show. Come on now.
No. This is Coach Esposito's show. It always was. Ray Tanner took it over and did an unbelievable job. And then, I got lucky enough to come back here, and I'll never forget what Ray said to me. He called me. I thought he was going to congratulate me, and he just said, "Don't screw it up." And, so I'm just a caretaker for Coach Esposito's program. And, he's the only jersey retired here. Matter of fact, we're going to honor a jersey, this season, which I'm real excited about. It's special to me. We're going to announce it soon. But right now, Coach Esposito is the only, number retired. And let me say this real quick before I forget it, because this guy, you know, Coach Esposito meant so much to all of us. And, but Monty Tal, he texted me at 4:20 this morning to make sure I was up. And, he's having hip surgery in Gainesville, Florida. So everybody tip of their cap to Monty Tal and good luck with that surgery.
Another great NC State name from the past.
Yeah.
I know you got Coastal Carolina today. Terrific program. Then we get conference play starting this weekend. You open up on the road at Virginia. I mentioned the West. The Hoosier 9-1 at home. Man alive. Same old this league though, isn't it? It's amazing how deep this conference is in baseball.
All the coaches in the league get along real well. So we talk throughout the season a little bit at different times. And all the coaches that I've talked to that have been around a lot, like Danny Hall and people like that, I talk to them, Mike Fox, this is the deepest and the best we think we've ever seen the conference.
Ooh.
And so it's amazing. And you talk about we're going to Virginia. And you read scores as a baseball coach. You know, you got that D1 baseball thing, and you just constantly, you know, read scores. Everybody else reads Twitter. We read scores. And Virginia must have – they won like four games this week by a combined score of like 65-6 or something. I don't know. So that's what you want to do is go somewhere and catch somebody hot when you go on the road. So we're going to play a very good Virginia team. But before we play Virginia, we got a very, very good Coastal Carolina team. And everybody should say a lot of prayers for Gary Gilmore, who's going through a tough battle with cancer right now. Gary will not be at the game today, but our hearts and our prayers go out to Coach Gilmore.
No question. Longtime coach of the Shots and College World Series champion from a couple of years ago. I want to ask you real quick before we cover some other things. Take me, because I had a couple people ask me last week about playing college baseball in Minneapolis in February, and I said, no, indoors. You played at U.S. Bank Field where the Vikings play. They had a Super Bowl, Final Four, the whole bit. What was that experience like to go play inside up there? They used to have the event at the Metrodome, and now they do it at the new facility.
Yeah, it's amazing. Ray Tennant was the guy that told me to go up there. They've been doing this thing for over 30 years, and Ray went there a couple years, and he said, Ellie, you got to go. And the people just treat you so well. From John Anderson, the head coach of Minnesota, to everybody. You know, we got a player from right there in Minneapolis. It was really neat for him to go home. And he's such a nice kid. I asked him one time, is everybody from Minnesota so nice? And he said, yeah, coach, they call it Minnesota nice. And I'd never heard of that being from the backwoods of North Carolina. But when you go up there, I was telling Boo Corrigan the other day, because the wrestling championships are going to be at the U.S. Bank Stadium. And I heard they've already sold like 45,000 tickets. And Mark, I know you're a big wrestling fan, and you've done a great job promoting NC State wrestling and wrestling throughout the conference. But it's going to be a great venue for them to go up there, and the people do such a great job. And that stadium, Wes, I hope you get a chance with the Falcons to go up there and do a game.
Yeah.
That stadium is just different, and it's really, really neat.
By the way, speaking of wrestling, Any thoughts about what's going to happen there? Because I know they got the ACC championship coming up Sunday.
Come on.
And we've had everybody and their brother on. I mean, this league is unbelievable in wrestling. Four teams ranked in the top 10. You always have a pretty good handle on what Kevin Keats is working on and all these other sports.
You got Doran covered. You got everybody. You got wrestling figured out, right?
Well, I mean, NC State swimming and diving team. The man just won a championship.
Holloway.
So what's going on with the wrestling crowd, man? They're getting the job done.
Well, actually, you pull for all your sports here, and you know all the coaches to a certain degree. But Pat Papalizio and I are very, very close. When he got here, he did such a great job, and he confided in me in a lot of things. And we became friends and talked about a lot of things. And his players are just they love baseball, number one. And like the Hidley brothers, they're just I got to get them out there and throw out a first pitch soon. And they're excited about that because they come to all our games. But I was over at Wissinger Brown last night, which is where a lot of the athletics are housed here, and I bumped into Wiz. And, you know, two-time national champion, and within like 15 seconds of winning a third national championship, and talked to him for a long time last night. But, you know, the seedings, it's all about the seedings a little bit as they go to the thing, and I'm not sure all the seedings that came out were like as favorable as we were hoping they were going to be, but our guys are so resilient and they're so tough-minded, and that comes from the top, from Coach Papalizio, and I'm sure they're going to go to Pittsburgh and do very, very well.
All right, let me ask you a question. You and Papalizio are boys, but have you got one of these deals right here? You got one of these? We got sent one of these.
No, but the reason you got that is because of me, just to let you know. I saw Mark put it on yesterday. Yeah, I told Pat, I said, Pat, nobody bangs your drum like Mark Packer. You have got to send him something. I told him that like last week, and so I think Brian Reinhart got that to you yesterday. And you're going to have a surprise box arriving today, probably at about 10:30. I was in a hurry to get it out yesterday, so I think I might have messed a couple things up. So I may have to give you another box. I was trying to give you a Trey Turner and a Carlos Rodon bobblehead. I might have gave you two Trey Turners. I'm not sure. So anyway, once the box comes in, let me know what's in it. And I got, you know, Chester Fuller got some cool stuff coming from Yellow Dog Company in Greensboro. Great company there by Mike Dempsey, who played baseball here at NC State for Coach Esposito. You got Chester Fuller. They got some cool stuff coming today.
Tell you what.
I got to tell you now.
As soon as I get done with that snake, I can't wait to open up all this cool stuff you're sending us, man.
Yeah, you need to get rid of that snake, though. I'm going to tell you. You need to make that happen.
How about your first-hand knowledge? You want to tell us first-hand knowledge of snakes, or is that you want to go ahead and tell Pac that just going out there with a shovel ain't a great idea and need to have a little something more under the hood?
Yeah, I had an umbrella. I used an umbrella like that guy. What was the movie? The guy with the top hat with the umbrella. I had all I had at my disposal was the umbrella, but it worked. I got him pretty good, but he got me pretty good too. Just keep your distance is all I can tell you. As you hit it, keep your distance.
Hey coach, let me tell you something. I'm going out there with something stronger than an umbrella because I don't want this to be, but a one and done. This is what this is. One and done. I don't need this to be, hey, here's my shot now, snake, it's your turn. No. I'm eliminating that option. We're not going out there with an umbrella.
And let me give you one more piece of advice. They're quicker than you think they are. They're quicker than you think.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Don't underestimate them. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I look forward to, assuming I'm still alive, to open up that box full of good gear you're getting from NC State. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be great. So are the dogs.
Yeah, the dog. Chester and Fuller got the best stuff.
Oh, yeah,
you and Wes got some cool stuff, but Chester and Fuller, they got the best. I'm kind of a dog guy. I love you guys to death, and you guys do an unbelievable job, but
all right.
I'm a dog guy.
All right, we're already getting questions here, and I have to ask this before we go. This T-shirt you're wearing, first of all, looks new. Second of all, where'd you get this? Because we're going to get people want to know where they can get this T-shirt who are Yankee fans or just like the idea of having a baseball shirt. Looks like a nod to Yogi Berra of sort.
Well, yeah. You said it looks new because it had the sticker on it. Is that what you're talking about? The sticker? Was that the giveaway? No, actually, Yogi Berra's granddaughter called me one time to do an interview. Wow. And I don't notice anything. So she told me her name, but I probably wasn't paying attention. I did the interview. She thanked me and sent me the article. And then she somehow it was mentioned that she was Yogi Berra's granddaughter. I said, well, why didn't you tell me that? I'm a huge Yankee fan. I've loved the Yankees all my life, like Pac loves the Giants. And did you name the snake Kershaw, by the way? Did I hear that you say that, Mark, the snake
is named Kershaw? Kershaw.
Yes.
Yeah, you love that, don't you?
Yeah, I do like that. But anyway, so she and I became friends just over the telephone, never met her. And she's a wonderful person, and she's in the media as well. And so I ordered a bunch of these Yogi Berra T-shirts because my daddy's a huge Yankee fan. And by the way, shout out to my dad. I'm hoping to go see him either today before the game or tomorrow.
Right.
My dad turns 93 years old tomorrow, watches every one of our games, hardly misses a Yankee game. And so I bought a bunch of these T-shirts to give out. Because I'm a big Yogi Berra fan.
That is cool.
Hey, good luck today against the Shots. Good luck this weekend in Charlottesville. You know you're one of our favorites. And we look forward to catching up with you as the spring unfolds.
I love listening to you guys. And, Wes, I miss the old days, you and I talking in the bleachers before games. I miss that a lot.
Well, maybe we can get a chance to roll this spring. I appreciate it, my man. Take care.
Y'all take care.
All right. Elliot Avent.
Awesome.
Get ready, people. It only gets better.
Yeah. T-shirt. Tack a snake with an umbrella. Says they're quicker than you think. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That's you better get ready.
I'm ready. I was ready yesterday, except I couldn't find him.
What's going to happen? What happens tomorrow when he comes in here with his leg wrapped after a trip to the ER?
Well, then you'll know that
snake won.
Kershaw finally showed up for once.
Oh, wow.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Thanks to Elliot Avent, by the way.
He's a trip.
Always, you know, we're not supposed to tell you we have favorites. That's one of our favorites.
We have a lot of favorites.
Yeah, we do.
I'll be honest, and to be honest with you, be completely transparent, because you always talk about being transparent.
Sure.
The collection of coaches that we deal with in this league are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're really good. Again, not everybody wins. Not everybody, you know how it works.
Sure.
You keep score, guys. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. But the collection of people that are coaches in this league, regardless of sport, are really good. It's one of the fun things about this job.
Yeah.
Going to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's been good to visit with several people at games, or like last night in Greensboro, folks who appreciate the student athletes that come on the shows,
Love those kind of things.
I mean, it's really, really been rewarding for us. We've enjoyed everybody that's been a part of it. And hopefully you're getting some good stories and some good information out of it and that kind of thing.
Try to do that.
Yeah.
Dick Vitale will be giving us some information coming up at 9:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Not p.m. So that's coming up in about 40 minutes or so. We look forward to that conversation as always. But last night we had two games of note. North Carolina starting to look the part, put back-to-back 90 spots on the board, starting to score. Remember when we had those conversations? This team just
couldn't hit 75 or 80.
Couldn't score. There's no transition basketball. Man, that doesn't look like the case at all in March when you got to be playing your best basketball. And Syracuse last night took care of business against a very depleted BC club. And by the way, it was spring break for the Boston College students. How about that? Syracuse had a good crowd there. I mean, it almost kind of felt like a Syracuse home game in some respects. It's tough when the students are gone, man. Really tough. But you know what? Elijah Hughes lit it up. Boeheim lit it up, as usual. Those two were really, really good.
I think probably took Buddy Boeheim about a week to come back from that sprained ankle he had.
Well, they were good last night. Now, yep. Hughes went for 28. Boeheim went for 21. And, again, for BC, a four-game losing streak, kind of limping, literally limping into the ACC tournament. You know, for years, you know, when Steve Adazio was the football coach at BC, seven was always the number, right? That was always kind of like the running tally. Hey, BC's going to get to seven and just kind of stop.
Yep.
Well, Jim Christian now, seven wins in conference play, which has been the ceiling. It's been kind of weird how that's worked, those two.
Yeah, the BC scenario is one that, because of the injuries, and I'll start with Winston Tabbs, who's missed the whole year, I just don't know that you've gotten a fair shot about who they are.
Right. And they still won seven games.
Yeah. Still won seven games.
Now, I think Jim Christian, to be honest with you, has really done a nice job maximizing what he's been able to work with.
It's the most he's won, by the way, in the league since taking the job 2 years ago. He went 7-11.
Now, if they could have stayed healthy, how many games did they win?
Oh, God.
Right?
I mean, yeah, you're talking double figures, and it kind of goes back to part and parcel what you said yesterday morning on the show. People make good basketball decisions, do the things they're supposed to do. This league could be dynamite next year. Yeah, I mean, we were having that Big Ten ACC argument yesterday about, you know, how the perception of the leagues are and that kind of thing. Matt Norlander, by the way, on CBS Sports, I retweeted this yesterday, wrote a really interesting article about how the Big Ten got to 20 and what they've learned from it. But your point yesterday is right. We're going to get more into this, I think, with coaches in the offseason postscript, but maybe even next week in Greensboro. This league's going to be a lot better next year if people just make solid basketball decisions.
Yeah, and for the most part, if you can just stay healthy, right? I mean, Jim, that's the other thing. This league, and it's been kind of a situation we've seen around the country.
Right.
I don't think I've seen more injuries in a basketball season across the country than we've had this year. And the ACC in particular has really been hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
Next year, the league's going to be out of sight.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's one of the things that is encouraging about the way the league is finishing this year. Maybe discouraging to only have four teams, but at the same time, look at all the teams that have kind of developed as the year's gone on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something certainly to keep an eye on.
Also keep an eye on what's going to happen tonight.
Oh, man.
We've got some games of note coming up tonight.
Big Wednesday night coming up. It's a big Wednesday. Glob all over the place. Clemson's on the road in Blacksburg. Florida State goes to Notre Dame. Virginia is at Coral Gables. And Georgia Tech's senior night for James Banks is the Pittsburgh Panthers.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.